Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for meditation this morning is from John chapter 6, verses 51 through 69. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is a bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Thus far, our text. In the name of Jesus, who is our one hope of eternal life, dear fellow redeemed. Over the last few weeks, we have been following a sort of theme in our scripture lessons. Our gospel readings have been from John chapter 6, centering around how Jesus is the bread of life. He gives that bread from heaven that does not fade away, but grants eternal life. And our Old Testament lessons have showed comparisons of God's provisional food for his people back then as pictures looking forward to how Jesus would be that provision in an even more perfect way. And our epistle lessons have told us what then we are to do after receiving that bread of life. That unity that comes as Christians. The path that we are to walk as children of light. And our sermon text for this morning brings to a completion this theme. Today, we echo the confession of Peter and the rest of the 12. To whom shall we go? Jesus is eternal life. John 6 contains some of the more difficult sayings of Jesus in the New Testament. Especially in verses 53 through 56, when Jesus talks about the eating and drinking of his flesh and blood and abiding in him. How does one abide in Christ? Well, it certainly seems like Jesus is talking about the Lord's Supper here, doesn't it? And that would make sense, except for the fact that he hasn't instituted it yet. And so there's another explanation for what he means by the eating and drinking of his flesh and blood. Namely, his word. Remember in John chapter 1, John describes Jesus as that Word that became flesh. That is a very embodiment of God's power, presence, will, and glory. Everything that the Bible tells us about God, we see in the person of Jesus Christ. And it is that same Word that Jesus here wants us to abide in. He wants us to remain, to find our sustenance in that one thing that gives us life. Not just the breath of life that we receive from God, but the spiritual life that comes through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection from the dead. Without Jesus, without the work that He did for you and me on the cross, we have nothing. We have no life in us. And that is it. There is nothing else. This is the hope that we have been given. And it is the only hope that we need. Jesus often encourages His followers to abide in that hope, to refresh ourselves on His goodness and salvation, for a good reason. Because He knows that we are sinful people. And it's not that we just forget about God every day. No, we continuously, actively look for some other hope. And it's not new to us, but it's been a continuous theme of God's people throughout history. While God's people trust in Him for a while, sooner or later they search for a hope that is more concrete. Something that they can control. Something like a piece of fruit that can make them like God. A king that promises them prosperity and wealth. That prophet that tells them exactly what they want to hear. And on and on. Instead, Jesus invites us to abide in Him. Let Him be at the center of our lives and let that same Word that tells us of our salvation be the guiding light to see how our hope in God is set on a solid foundation. Now, it still remains a difficult saying for a couple of reasons. First of all, can all of our life's questions really be answered by a book? Normally the answer is no. But the Bible is more than just a book. The Bible is the recorded will of the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent triune God. It is the will of Him who knows all things and knows the trials and tribulations that you and I face or even will face in our lives. And as people who generally walk by sight, it can be difficult to give that up in order to walk by faith. And yet, even though we can't physically see the fulfillment of God's promises, our faith is not blind. Because it walks confidently in Him who founded it, created it within you, and even now sustains it for you. The other reason this is a difficult saying is because it is offensive to those without faith. One pastor said, "Great multitudes will follow as long as there's no price to be paid, no contract to sign, no commands to obey, no orders to follow, no sacrifices to surrender, no gifts to offer, no commitments to keep, no burdens to bear, no sufferings to share, no hardship to handle, no effort to exert, no pills to swallow, no limitations to learn, no scriptures to study, no worship services to attend, no prayers to pray, no cooperation to communicate, no battles to fight, no pledges to promise, no covenants to keep, no standards to uphold." The basic idea of Christianity sounds good to just about everyone's ears. That is, until they understand what comes along with it. Being a Christian is not a free pass from life's struggles and difficulties. You still have to deal with sickness and death. There is depression and anxiety. There is financial struggles and disagreement amongst family. And that's not even the worst part. Because Jesus says, even the world will hate you. Now, we have been blessed to live in a country that has protected the right of a freedom of religion. But that is not the case around the world. Read through the World Mission prayer list sometime and see the depth of persecution our brothers and sisters in Christ go through on account of their faith. Homes destroyed, put in prison, possessions taken away. And it strikes the same chord in people today that it did with some of Jesus' followers back then. When he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Jesus' followers, being mostly Jews, took great offense at what he said, because he told them that their keeping of the law would get them nowhere. It was impossible for them to gain heaven. Only other than through Jesus would they enter that glory. And once he said that, he was no longer the great teacher that they wanted. And they went their own way. They wanted to be in control of their own salvation as they had been taught. But what they were really doing was walking away from their one hope of salvation. Through the Holy Spirit, John lets us in on the hidden details, revealing that Jesus knew which of his followers did not believe in him, and even already of Judas, who would betray him. And so it was no surprise to Jesus that they left. But he turns the question to his disciples. Do you want to go away as well? Now, just as Jesus knew which of his followers did not believe, he also knew the faith that remained in his disciples' hearts. He asked them this question so that they had the opportunity to confess their faith. Jesus knew full well the persecution his disciples would face and how strong that temptation would be to shy away from any connection with Jesus or any connection to the faith. We see just how strong that temptation was. Caused Peter to stumble and fall, denying Jesus at his trial. What about you? Do you want to go away as well? At the sign of trouble or tribulation, are you tempted to look for some other hope, some other direction to go that seems to be more in your control? Are you looking for something more, a need to fulfill, because God doesn't quite fulfill it up to my satisfaction? I don't know about you, but those temptations come frequently. And it is Satan beckoning me or you to take that easy road, to hop over on the shortcut. But it's all a deception. In grade school, my teacher was doing a devotional series on Proverbs. He had made this cutout of a narrow road to heaven that we must walk down. Along the side of the road, there were bandits hiding behind bushes, offshoots that were windy, but they led to nowhere. And there was a lollipop enticing you to go off the path. It was an effective illustration of how narrow the pathway to heaven is and how great the temptations are to get you to go off of it. There is no shortcut. There is no easy road. The only road to eternal life is through the Son of God. Without Jesus, there is no life. And there is only one answer needed to those temptations. It is in the words of Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. For Peter and the rest of the disciples, there was one thing that outweighed everything else. That Jesus is true God, and He is the key to eternal life. They have been brought to faith by the Holy Spirit to see Jesus for who He really was. God made flesh to redeem this world from sin. And there was no doubt in their minds. This was their confession of faith. The teachings of Jesus did not offend them. Rather, it caused them to grow in an understanding of God's will. They learned from Him and were prepared to lead the early church to spread the gospel to the corners of the earth. Sure, they too could have left, gone back to being fishermen or tax collectors or zealots or whatever profession they may be. But they didn't, because they recognized Jesus as being their one hope for everlasting life. And their confession is yours as well. It is a confession of every person who has been brought to faith by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. To whom will you go? Will you find hope in the things of this world or in yourself? Or is your one hope in the Son of God? Jesus Christ, who took on human flesh in order to deliver you from your sin. Is your one hope in the one who took on the full throng of hell, endured God's unrelenting anger and punishment so that you could have a future with Him in eternal bliss? Is your hope in the one whom death could not hold, but who shattered death's power so that your greatest enemy has lost its power over you? If this is your hope, then you have something more valuable than the world can ever give you. You have an answer to all of life's problems. You have the Creator of all things with you at all times to help you with all of your troubles. And don't just take my word for it. Read for yourself. Feed your soul on the bread of life. Hear from God's own mouth the plan that He had to redeem you and the plan He has for you now to be your Father, to be your comforter and your friend. Go to Jesus. He is eternal life for you. Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.